All right, welcome to episode number 54 of the Illini Basketball Podcast, of course, as the Illini win another one, sixth straight win of this run, and they are doing it against teams they're supposed to be doing it against. I know that they've kind of, you know, the last couple games, they've kind of, quote-unquote, messed around against teams that they probably shouldn't be messing around with. Northwestern, Nebraska, two bottom teams in the conference. This game, I thought they were going to beat them by 30. They're up 25-7 right away. Miller's hitting shots. You know, Io didn't really have to do anything until it mattered. But it got close, and Illinois ends up winning 73-66 as we both hit the button. So, you know, yeah. I predicted they win by 13. You said 17. We shouldn't really be surprised if it was only a single-digit win.
Yeah, it was a little closer than what we like, but, I mean, it's a win. Northwestern came out in that second half and looked like a different team than the first half, really, kind of how Illinois did the last game. So, Illinois' defense was great in the first half, and then it just kind of went by the wayside. So, I don't know what's going on there. Illinois has this history of, you know, going 5-10 minutes, you know, where they're just not in the game. And hopefully they get that figured out, because it's going to hurt them, I think, come tournament time. So, but
yeah.
Players of the game. For once, we didn't agree with each other. So that's something. I'm going with Io here. I know they only had 13 points. I know he only took 9 shots. And you know what? He might have had 5 turnovers. But when Io has to show up, he shows up, and he just takes over a game. And there's no way Illinois wins this game if Io doesn't hit that 19-foot jumper. I hate that shot, but it was money. Then he knocks the 2 threes down, the one from 57 feet. Nothing but net. Beautiful. And I don't think that Io, like I saw a lot of talk of, you know, Io's coasting, or, you know, how come Io's not showing up? I think that 3-2 zone was really detrimental to him. You know, he couldn't penetrate and take those shots. I think he got to the rim one time and made it. But I'd rather him not force up shots. I'd rather him work through his team a little bit more, especially when they are focusing on him so hard. So, I saw that he didn't have any shots in the first 12 minutes of the second half. And according to Illinois on BTN Twitter page, Underwood apparently called Io to close the game with 8:56 left, and close the game he did. Afterwards, you know, Underwood was talking, you know, getting questions asked about Io's shot at National Player of the Year. Underwood said, "No doubt Io's National Player of the Year candidate. I think he should be leading that area. I'm obviously very biased." But, you know, I just think that Io, you know, he didn't have to do Io things, but he was still 5-9 from the field. I mean, that's pretty good. That's better than 11-25, I think, personally. But,
I would guess that is the case. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he did lead Scott Van Pelt's. Can you help me there? Jeez. SVP's Player of the Year talk right out the gate. He was the opening story. So he's getting national recognition now, which is nice to see.
Well, I texted you this, and I think we're going to end up in a situation where Garza probably should have won National Player of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Over Obi Toppin in the Atlantic 10, but he didn't win it, and now he probably shouldn't win it this year, and he's probably going to win it. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're an Illini fan, which I guess we are technically, right? So, if you're an Illini fan, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just think that Garza has controlled the narrative for National Player of the Year all year. And it's really hard to turn that and turn enough people around.
When do they finish that? Is it before the conference tournaments? Do they announce that?
I would assume you have to vote, you know, before anything happens. I don't know when they announce it.
Yeah.
Cause I don't even remember, like, last year was such a different year. So you don't really know, but,
I just didn't know if, like, Io, you know, has a great game against Iowa in the Big Ten tournament, if that would affect anything.
I doubt it. I don't think so, but I'll say this. I think that, There's too many people that have votes for that that look more of the stat sheet than the actual watching of the game. Mm-hmm. So when you see Garza having 30 points, I mean, you got to watch the game. You got to see, you know, first of all, he should be able to have 30 every night against Wisconsin like he did last night, because their front court's terrible. They don't rebound. They're not very good defensively. They're much smaller than him. Yeah. So that makes sense.
What did Io do against Wisconsin? I can't remember. Was it
21, 12, and 11 or something?
Just a triple-double, out-rebounded Garza against the same team, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, of course, Iowa didn't really miss any shots. How many offensive rebound opportunities did he have?
True.
Wisconsin is not good.
True.
So I don't want to say too much about Wisconsin because Illinois does play them again.
Yeah, so we don't want to get too cocky. Huh?
Yeah, my player of the game is Kofi. He only played 23 minutes in this game, which was something. I mean, he missed a lot of time in the first half, not playing
5 minutes
fouls,
in the first
I guess.
Half.
Did he have two fouls?
Yep, two fouls, and he only played 5 minutes. I don't know if he got back in after his second foul, but
I don't think he did.
But Georgie played so well that it didn't. I don't think it mattered as much.
Yeah, but Kofi still made a massive impact on the game. Yeah. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds. He was just dominating the glass, as he should against just about everybody in the country that they play. He's bigger than everybody. Mm-hmm. 7 of 11 from the field. I just wanted to go, you know, a different direction. I don't know. I mean, Io's won 3 in a row for you. That's his 7th of the year for you. Kofi, he's that's his 4th of the year.
Been playing pretty well. 31 points, a double-double, you know.
The leaders of the Player of the Year tracker or Player of the Game tracker, you have 7 for Io and 4 for Kofi. I have 6 for Io and 4 for Kofi.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Kofi very much probably deserved this one, but just – when it came down to the reason why Illinois won and hung in, it had to do a lot with Io. Also had a lot to do with Damonte Williams. The way that he just locks down on defense in the final few minutes, got that steal, ended up making 1 of 2 free throws though. Illinois' free throw shooting was abysmal this game. 11 for 22, I believe they went. Just not good, especially like Curbelo. I mean, Curbelo getting to the rim, you know, that's fine, but he doesn't make the shot, and then he misses every free throw he takes. So,
and then he shoots wide open threes.
So whoever was telling you that he needs to keep shooting, let's pull back on that one. He's made 3. I think he's shooting 12% from 3 now. So, let's just slow down. But like I said, Illinois' defense was really good out the chute. And then they got outscored 40-35 in the second half. It was kind of a tale of two halves, really, with the three-point shooting, because Northwestern went 0-10 in the first half. And then they ended up – I mean, I think they made 6 in the second half, while Illinois started off 4-4, and then they made like 4 more the rest of the game. So – Illinois' defense. I know Trent Frazier's been talking a lot about, you know, earlier in the season about fighting through screens and all this stuff. And he went underneath every screen when Adige was stepping back. And Adige dang near put Northwestern on his back and carried him to the finish line here. He was good down the stretch. Couldn't miss anything.
Another game where Boo Booey does nothing.
Yeah, Boo Booey fouled out, I believe, again. Didn't he foul out last game?
All right, he's the most overrated.
He did have 9 points, though. He made a few good buckets when Northwestern needed him. But,
congrats. He's got way too much. I think there's way too much pressure on him.
Yeah,
also, probably. A lot of
I think he tries to do too much, and I don't think he does. With Nance and Adige, I don't think he needs to do as much as he maybe did last year.
I mean, Adige is by far the best player in this team.
Yeah, he's got a really pretty shot. It's really pretty. Like I said about Kofi, you know, he only played 5 minutes in the first half. Georgie came in and was huge for Illinois. Had 10 points, all of them in the first half, going 5 of 7 from the field and had 3 rebounds. He did get beat up on the playing defense a little bit. He wasn't very strong against Young, I believe it was. He wasn't very strong against him, but, you know, he came in and filled in those minutes, which you really, really love to see from Georgie, because I'm pretty sure last podcast we said Georgie played 6 minutes, had 3 fouls. That's it. So When Georgie's putting up double-digit numbers, it's going to be good for Illinois. Grandison still starting. You know, some people might have questioned why.
I mean, who cares? They're 6-0. It's working. He's not playing as many minutes as Devontae.
I know.
He got off to a great start.
It surprised me.
You said, "Why is he starting?" And then 3 seconds later, he had five points.
He hit a three. Had a nice cut. They actually ran a play out of the weave. So. You know, that's always good to see.
Definitely Underwood listening to our podcast.
Yeah. He played – so Grandison played 12 minutes, had 5 points, played fine. Demonte played 25 minutes. Big part of that is Grandison's defense just isn't there. And they said that after some bad defense, Underwood turned to Williams and said, "Go get Jacob Grandison now."
Said his full name?
Yeah, apparently he did.
That's intense. I don't think there's any reason to change it until they lose.
I agree. I mean, you don't change it. I agree. But
6-0 after somehow losing back to back at home to Maryland and Ohio State.
Yeah, the Ohio State one's not as bad now as what.
Yeah, but they should have won that game.
They definitely should have.
There was only one factor in that game that kept them from winning, and that was Liddell scoring so much in the first half.
Anyway,
I was looking at Boo Booey's stats just for fun real quick. I mean, you know how many turnovers he has in the last five games? I just think he's so overrated, but I also think there's way too much pressure on him.
Okay,
he's a sophomore. He's
how many turnovers has he had?
Okay, so he didn't have
got to be better than Io's.
He didn't have any against Indiana.
Okay,
he played 28 minutes at 2 points off of free throws. He had, 14 turnovers between Rutgers, Purdue, Rutgers, and Illinois.
Okay.
9 turnovers between Purdue and Rutgers, and 5 between Illinois and Rutgers again.
I think Io's had 13 over his last 3 games.
Yeah, but Io actually scored points. You know, Boo Booey, 2 points, 8 points, 2 points, 3 points, 9 points. So,
okay,
and he shot under 30% from the field in 4 of the 5 games. One game he didn't have any field goals.
Is anybody really talking this guy up anymore? I mean, I'm just wondering why you're trying to bring him
down. Still think people do it. Like,
I mean, he's not even starting.
He doesn't. Yeah, I mean, he was. I just wanted to be known.
Who was his brother from Penn State?
Taylor Battle.
Taylor Battle.
He was very good.
He was not
very good college player.
He's got a lot to live up to. Huh?
He didn't shoot 30% from the field for the season.
Yeah, I believe that.
Actually, I'm going to look up his college stats just for fun. I'm actually going to do it down here, so you can continue.
Yeah, I'll keep going. I thought Hawkins put in some good minutes. I think he played 6 or something. But he was the only guy that went 100% from the free throw line, 2 for 2. But I think Hawkins still is – I think eventually Hawkins might play more than Grandison. But I think defensively they're both just not
bad.
Demonte, like we said earlier, had a huge steal down the stretch, had 2 steals in the game, had 5 assists, which was I was surprised to see that. He must have been the one giving them all to Kofi. Io had 5 assists, so those 2 led the team. And Demonte had a great cut, and Curbelo with a great find towards the end of the game. Curbelo, okay. I mean, what would you give him? I'd give him a B minus this game, maybe, if I was grading him on a scale.
C plus.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he was 0-for-2 from 3, like we said. Please stop doing it. He had 7 rebounds, though.
Didn't he get his own rebound on one of those threes?
I believe so, yeah. He followed a shot, which you don't see very often.
Well, he knew that he completely missed it. Do you think he ever, practices shooting at this point? I mean,
I think he practices fadeaway jumpers in the lane is what I think he practices. I don't know if he practices threes. I wish he'd practice free throws. Would be good.
Yeah, and another thing is, we can just do a quick cutaway here to Taylor Battle's stats just to get that out of the way.
Yeah, let's hear it.
He's another guy that I don't think ever played in the NCAA tournament, which sucks because he's a great player. He did win the NIT in 2009. They beat Baylor in the championship.
Nice.
The NIT. So he averaged – he was 3-time
All- 2009, wasn't he still there 2 years ago?
No. He was gone in 2011.
I thought he was still playing when – never mind.
I guess he was just
watching Boo Booey's games. He wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
Internet going down? What is that? Wi-Fi signal.
I've
never seen that Wi-Fi signal. Oh, it's off now.
I didn't see anything. But anyway, three-time All Big Ten first team, 16 points, 18 points, 20 points from his sophomore to his senior year, 42% from the field, by the way, 48% or 36% from three. So not good there. But, yeah, a pretty good player. I mean, you know, too bad he went to Penn State. Mm-hmm. And they won the NIT. He's actually their all-time leader in points.
Really?
Lamar Stevens is second. If he would have gotten seven more points, he would have been number one.
Wow. That's surprising.
But, yeah, I think, you know, it's not a very good, you know, basketball school. Number six, Shep Garner. Who the hell is that? He played until 2018. I've never heard of the guy.
That says a lot. Says a lot.
Yeah, so anyway, completely going off topic there. Yeah. Shout out to Boo Boo and Taylor Battle, but continue.
Yeah, the only other two guys, Frazier, 2 of 5 from three. I thought his defense was a bit sluggish, not the D that he usually plays, but he was fine. But he was on Adige most of the time, and you know, like I said, gave up 22, kept going under the screens. One of them, Adige, was trying to go to the lane, and Frazier basically went all the way to the hoop. It was not pretty. And then Ace Wolf, 9 threes taken by Ace Wolf, 3 of 9. Three might be his second most threes of the season. I think he had 4 against Minnesota. But, yeah, 3 of 9 from 3, 3 of 11 from the field. But I thought he played well on defense. He had 2 steals, and I thought he got hosed a little bit, boxing guys out.
Yeah.
Which
Nance jumped on his back, and it was a foul.
Yeah, and then the other one, he was, like, shoved going towards the hoop, and then he boxed out, and they called the foul on him, which I guess it's always the second guy. But
he's the most confusing shooter I've ever seen. Like, he had a 3 in the corner that Nance was right up on him, and he hit it. And then he would have other ones where it's like the same thing. He's just way off, or he's wide open and he's way off.
Way off. The thing is, and I text you this during the game, like, if he doesn't catch it in the pocket, like, if he doesn't get it at his chest, he's not making it. Like, he'll try catching him down by his feet. There's no chance that ball's going in. And he tries to shoot out of that position a lot, which I wish he wouldn't.
I think it comes down to he's the type of shooter probably that just needs to, you know, be like the main scorer on a team to be able to score a lot and be more consistent.
Yeah.
Because there's games where he's not shooting very much, and then there's games where he's shooting 9 threes.
Yeah, and he did get to the hoop once, which was nice. He just didn't finish. It was a good move, which you don't see from him.
He does that every, like, 5 games.
Yeah, we haven't seen it from him that often, but maybe he can – get there a little bit more.
How many free throws did he take? Did he take 2? Was he 1 for 2 from the line?
He was 1 of 2. Yeah. Free throws were not good. Kofi, 3 of 6. Miller and Io, 1 of 2. Frazier, 3 of 4. Curbelo, 0 for 3. And DeMonte, 1 for 3. So,
oh my God. It's terrible.
Not good. Not good. In this team, you know, like they played Nebraska and they played Northwestern, and it just seems like they play to their competition. You know, when it's somebody good, they're really good. You know, they play well.
Iowa, or Wisconsin, even though Wisconsin's not great right now.
Right. But I mean, it was like they could have won this game. And I thought that they were up 20 at half the way they played, but they struggled the last 5 minutes. And then they, you know, struggled throughout part of the first half of the second half. Right.
I hate to bring up the West Coast Conference, but, you know, that's the difference between Illinois and Gonzaga. Gonzaga just
put St. Mary's away.
And St. Mary's is much better than Northwestern, I think. And they beat them. They were up 61-24. That's what Illinois should have done in Northwestern. That's the difference. Gonzaga has more experienced guys, and they're probably better coached, if we're being honest. I mean, I don't really think that's surprising. But they know how to, you know, really floor it all the way and just kill teams. And that's what they did.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, that 3-2 zone, it was tough for Illinois. And they asked Robbie Hummel afterwards. I was watching a little bit of the after show, and he said something about, they said something about, like, do you think other teams will start doing this, knowing how hard it was for Illinois? And the thing is, other teams don't run zone defenses normally. Northwestern has always done that. They you know, they used to run a 1-3-1 back in the day. They run a 3-2 now. But I felt like Kofi could have got the ball a heck of a lot more in this game. There were times where he was wide open. And I guess the length of Northwestern's front line, the guys just couldn't get the ball into him. But, man, Kofi could have had 30 this game, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Illinois still turned the ball over, 15 turnovers. Do you think Illinois plays too fast for the talent that they have? I mean, Kofi was trying to run out and threw the ball off DeMonte's head or whatever he did. I know that's what they want to do.
They can only run up and down the floor if Io or Frazier is controlling the ball.
True. True.
Yeah. If Kofi's dribbling down the floor, it's not going to work.
Yep. I agree. Illinois only out rebound Northwestern by 34-32, which is not particularly great.
Well, Kofi only played 23 minutes and he had 10. He could have had 20 rebounds and he had six offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
And he, you know, come on.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, overall, a win, like we say, always a win is a win is a win. I'm going to have to go after the Illinois reporters just a little bit. You know, they asked, one of them asked Io after the game, how do you feel after this game? Io's answer, which I think is awesome, I feel great. Like, how are you supposed to feel?
Did this person, this reporter who, like, it's a, you know, you're basically saying maybe you shouldn't feel so good since you barely beat Northwestern and lost 12 games in a row. Did they not watch what Io said in the locker room after Nebraska?
Exactly. Yeah.
So what kind of a stupid question is that?
I don't know. Ridiculous. It's not good. I just think that's kind of a not a great question. I mean, a win is whatever. And Io also added, the people that think it was talking about how Northwestern maybe not so good. The people that think that just don't really watch basketball. Nobody is winning by 20 or 30 in the Big Ten.
So is he talking about the entire Big Ten?
He was talking about mostly. Why? What are you trying to say?
Because Iowa beat Michigan State by 30.
Yeah, but okay.
I mean, Northwestern definitely isn't getting killed by teams for the most part.
True. Northwestern's been in a lot of games. So,
I mean, they lost by 14 to Rutgers, 3 to Indiana in double OT, 5 to Purdue, 8 mm-hmm. to Rutgers, 3 to Penn State, 16 to Wisconsin, 23 to Iowa, 10 to Ohio State, 25 to Illinois in that first game.
If Iowa's making shots, they're going to beat teams by 20. That's the way their team's built.
Yeah, I mean, they should have beaten Wisconsin by more than they did last night, probably. I mean, they beat them by 15. They probably should have won that game by a lot more, but yeah.
Yeah. Underwood was also asked what his favorite Io clutch shot was, and his answer was, let's talk about that in March or April because it could change.
Is he confirming that they're going to make the tournament?
If they don't make the tournament now, let's calm down. I did see that the tournament is saying that there will be fans.
They sound very confident in their plan to make all this work. I just hope
they're going
to
have at least
25%, right?
Yeah, but I think that they said that the state of Indiana is going to limit it to 500. So I don't know. We'll see.
That'll probably change.
We'll see. Last quote I got is Underwood just talking about, you know, basketball. This is how it is. He said, this is a grind. This is chiseling us. This is making us find out how to win in different ways. Yeah, you got to find a way to win. So
I feel like they were going through the same thing last year.
Definitely.
Except it led to nothing because
they couldn't play. Definitely a builder game. I mean, you know, things don't always go the right way. You still find a way to win. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to win the Big Ten regular season at this point. So
yeah,
just go with it.
Never know.
Try to win.
Still time.
Well, it's going to take what
Ohio doesn't State matter during wins. A COVID year is what somebody texted me. So
I mean, I didn't say it doesn't matter. I just said I'm not concerned about it.
Right.
But
I'd rather win the tournament if they have that, the Big Ten tournament.
I'd rather win the national championship. I would
also rather win the national championship.
Correct. They could lose in the first round of the Big Ten or the first game of the Big Ten tournament they play, and then if they win the national championship, I don't care. So.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a realistic goal, but whatever. So who do we need to win on Sunday? Ohio State?
Just need Michigan to lose. We need Michigan to lose a game. You know, they both looked vulnerable last night for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Ohio State did a lot more than Michigan, because Michigan took that game over pretty quickly.
Yeah. Michigan just – they seem to hit like another gear and just – start dominating games. So yeah. Like I said, I don't know if they'll play, and it's not about, you know, winning the regular season title. I just want to see how Illinois competes with the quote unquote best team in the Big Ten right now. So yeah, I think that game's more important for the tournament than barely beating Nebraska and Northwestern. I don't care if you lose by 20. I think it's still more important.
I'm getting Iowa fans coming after me because I questioned whether their defense was improving or was just their opponents missing shots, which I think is a mix of both. But someone asked me if I was triggered that something positive was tweeted about Iowa. Someone said I'd be more worried if they were taken overtime by Nebraska.
Oh,
I mean,
snap.
And followed by a close.
Who won that game? Who won that Illinois-Iowa game? I can't remember.
Oh, well, C.J. Frederick was out, and he's obviously their best player, right?
Yeah. What's he average, 9 a game?
I mean, he is a very good player and does a lot of things.
Is he a sophomore this year?
I don't know. All I know is that Iowa's recruiting class next year is abysmal, which segues us into the later portion of the podcast, which is the recruiting stuff that
probably good because all these guys are going to come back for another year, right?
Yeah, I mean, Garza might not, but he should.
Go play in the G League.
I feel like he would fit in the NBA. I don't know why people have him so low. Like, he's a big that can shoot. Isn't that what the NBA is now?
CJ Frederick, 8 points, 1.2 rebounds, 2.4 assists, shooting 47% from the field.
47% is pretty good.
It's really good.
Well, especially when he takes mostly three.
I don't know.
Yes, suck on that. He's shooting like 49%, I think. All right. Illinois plays Minnesota tomorrow. Minnesota. The weirdest team in the country.
49.1.
Yeah, exactly.
Impressive.
It doesn't even really feel like he's shooting that high, but it's probably because he's had some games where he was like 6-for-16. But anyway, Illinois plays Minnesota tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on Fox. This is going to be an interesting game because Minnesota is literally
two different teams.
13-1 at home and 0-8 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to win this game because if they lose this game, they are probably going to get it to at some point where they're like firmly on the bubble and they're going to have to win a Big Ten road game to be able to get to the tournament, I think. Like, I thought Minnesota was going to be a lock, but they continue to lose on the road.
Right.
They've lost 5 of 7. First time these two teams played, Illinois got off to a very slow start and then completely ran them out of the building after that, win that game by 27. They basically dominated the last 35 minutes or so of that game. Mm-hmm. Robbins was in early foul trouble, which leads to Kofi having 33-13. And that game really started where I know early in the season we were questioning, you know, Kofi hasn't gotten better. What the hell's wrong with him? This game started, and ever since then, he's been dominating. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Miller had 14 against them. Miller was a lot better.
Like I said, he was 4 of 9 from three. I think that's the most threes he's made in a game, right? How many did he have when when he scored 28?
Yeah, what a way to start. 28 points, and then just ever since then, it's just been up and down. I mean, he did have a good game in the second game, but. The Ohio game changed him, I guess, huh?
3 points. He had 6 in the NCAA&T game.
Yeah, it helps.
Six of eight.
They just completely spread the floor out, and then, we're playing a team that doesn't know how to play defense.
And he had 4 against Minnesota, and then he was 4 of 11 the last time they played Northwestern. Jeez.
I don't know. What's he shooting for this season? Yeah, I'm very curious.
34.5%.
That's about right. I mean, Yeah. I wish that it was more like 38, but whatever. What can you do? So Io had 10, Frazier had 10. Curbelo had 9.6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 turnovers. This was kind of when he was still rolling. And ever since then, he's kind of done too much, mm-hmm. or tried to do too much. Illinois shot 53 from the field. Minnesota shot 27, 36 from 3, and 25 from Minnesota, 68% from the line, 62 from Minnesota. Illinois out-rebounded them 43-24. And, of course, Illinois won the turnover battle in the wrong way, 14 turnovers to Minnesota's 9. So they still won the game by 27. There. And they should have won the game by about 30, but I think there's a garbage time 3 by Minnesota. So haslametrically speaking, the Haslametrics are not a fan of the Golden Gophers. Illinois is 8th, Minnesota 60th. Illinois 17th in offensive efficiency, 10th in defensive efficiency. Minnesota 52nd offensively, 71st defensively. Strength of schedule, which is adjusted per their metrics, Illinois 12, Minnesota 19. Expected outcome, Illinois 75.46, Minnesota 70.54. Now, we're adding a new element to the podcast. And, you know, with the fact that KenPom is $20 for the entire year, yeah. You got to take advantage of a deal like that. So I did, and I didn't realize
– doesn't have that, huh?
Well, it's all free, and they have a little bit less. Like, yeah. KenPom goes way deeper than I thought it ever would. Gotcha. Like, I have so much information at my fingertips now. It's like, you know, this team's height mixed with their experience, that's mm-hmm. a stat. Where do certain refs rank in the country? So that's a stat.
Interesting.
What I'm interested in that is trying to find the guys from the Indiana game and see where they're ranked. Because I know where TV Teddy or whatever you people call him is ranked. you want to know where he's at? There, just for reference, there's 200
third.
Refs. 200 refs, and okay. He is sitting at somewhere here. I'll find him.
TV Teddy.
It's not good, I'll tell you that.
Apparently, you're having a hard time finding him.
Give me a sec here. Give me
it
a
doesn't
sec.
Surprise me. He's is the definition of ref show.
Yeah. I can't find him. I found him yesterday. Now I can't find him. Son of a. Dang it. I'm going to find. Oh, he's actually 18th. What the hell?
Oh.
I missed him. That's surprising. I want to figure out those. I think you should go to ESPN and find the names of the refs from that Indiana game. And just we can call them out one more time just for good measure.
Does it tell you like. Somewhere, where does it tell you?
Rest? Yeah, on the left, like where it shows the capacity and the arena it was played at, shows the referees.
Illinois versus. Okay, go ahead with your KenPom. I'll look it up.
By the way, Bo Borowski, who everyone talks about how he does like every game ever, and I think he did this game, or he did the Illinois. He did
this game. Yeah, yeah. I could have swore they called him like something weird, Bodine.
He's not fifth.
Really?
Yeah, he's fifth, and then the other guys that were with him are somewhere on this list. Lewis Garrison's 105.
Robert Riley.
All right, let me find Mr.
You just said Lewis Garrison, right?
Yeah, he's 105.
Well, that was one of them.
Okay. Riley's 42nd.
And then Kelly Pfeiffer.
Sounds like he would be good.
Just because of his name, I agree.
Sounds like a good ref. 21st. So they're really not 21st, 42nd, 105.
And it's like still like blowing the whistle.
You got to have one of those top 10 guys in there, like Kip Kissinger, who's number one.
I don't know, blowing the whistle a little bit.
Kip Kissinger's a big 12 guy. So shout out. All right. Enough about the ref shows. The Insta Game Prep analytic tool of KenPom projects that Illinois wins this game 77-72. So both about a 5-point difference between these two teams, according to both. As you can see, if you're watching the video portion, there's a lot of stats in front of me here. As you can, So Illinois' offense is actually 9th in adjusted efficiency, according to KenPom, and Minnesota's defense is 62nd. Illinois is much better from 3 and 2. Minnesota's better free throw shooting. Minnesota has more block, has a better block percentage, and Illinois has a better steal percentage. Iowa has a 114 offensive rating,
which isn't good,
apparently.
No. Okay.
It's better than Marcus Carr.
KenPom.
It's way better than Marcus Carr. Also, for reference, Kofi has a 120 and Curbelo has a 98.
So higher has to be better.
I think it's all about efficiency and what you do. Like, DeMonte is 22nd in the country at 130. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. Most of these stats make no sense to me, but go with it. Yeah, that I don't even – there's so many stats here, I can't even pick one. All right. Gabe Kalshur is out, apparently. You added that?
Yeah, broken hand. He was out for the Indiana game, and they said he's out indefinitely with a broken hand. He started 88 games in a row, averaging like 9.5. So
yeah, he's a decent shooter, you know. He was struggling last couple seasons shooting.
So I think that this game, I mean, they're going to have to rely heavily on Carr like they usually do. And I think a big person to watch for them is going to be Jamal Mashburn Jr. He had 19 against Indiana, 14 against Maryland, 6 against Purdue, 11 against Nebraska, and 10 against Rutgers. So he's starting to turn it on, as they say.
Yeah, I don't – what do you think their starting lineup is going to be? Probably Carr, Mashburn, Brandon Johnson, Liam Robbins, and Trey Williams, I guess. That was their lineup in their last game.
Yeah.
They were 4 for 20 from three against Indiana. They lost that game by 10.
Ouch.
Yeah, not good, definitely. So you look at this team. I mean, they start out 6-0, obviously playing a bunch of not good teams, teams that were ranked in the top 298 of KenPom. So you got, you know, three teams that were 200 or worse, and then a couple teams in the 100s. And then Illinois beat them handily. Then they beat St. Louis. Then they beat Iowa. Then they beat Michigan State. You're like, oh, man, 3-1 starting the Big Ten. And they've fallen completely apart since then. Not Northwestern falling apart, but not good. They've lost 5 of 7 games. And they have not won a Big Ten road game. And they haven't won a road game in general. And all their road games have been in the Big Ten, I believe, because their home games to start the season were non-conference at home. So 0-8 in the road. Their last 7 games, they have losses to Maryland, Purdue, Rutgers, and then they beat Nebraska and Purdue, and they lost to Maryland and Indiana. So 2 losses to Maryland in that stretch. And one of those, obviously one of those Maryland games was at home. So that's their one home loss for the season was to Maryland. So Illinois also has a home loss to Maryland. And the great thing about this team is that they beat Michigan. So they're the only team to beat Michigan. Very weird team. I don't know what the hell to think of them. How they could be so bad on the road.
It is weird. That's how Minnesota's been forever, though, right? Like they play well. Maybe it's the race for.
Yeah, I just think that Pitino's not a good coach. So kind of got that going on. I don't think he's very good. And I think there's a lot of Minnesota people calling for his head. I think if they miss the tournament somehow this year, he might be gone. I doubt it. Because he'll probably get another year, and then he'll probably be gone after next year. So that'll be a waste of time for them. But
I'm probably going to have to record this game because I got to work. Don't text me and tell me what's going on.
I mean, usually initiate the texting. So, you know. Okay.
All right. Am I reading this right? Illinois only has 4 games left. Minnesota, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Ohio State.
I think they play Nebraska again, so that's 5.
Why don't they have that on here?
I don't think they've actually set the date or the time, but it said on the Illinois official schedule, it said March 3rd.
Well, it's weird because I'm looking at Minnesota's. Never mind. Look at this one. So according to ESPN, they play Minnesota, Michigan State, Nebraska the 24th, Wisconsin the 27th, Nebraska the 2nd, Ohio State the 6th.
I think they're going to play Nebraska on the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th of March. Because why would they play them on the 24th?
They're not going to play them. One of these games got changed is what I'm trying to – because they already played them.
Yeah. they moved the 24th up probably.
Right.
Because they put Michigan State in the 23rd.
Yeah, so that makes sense. So they they'll play Minnesota, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State.
Yeah, by the way, Illinois is eighth.
Maybe Michigan.
Illinois is eighth in overall strength of schedule on KenPom, and Minnesota's ninth. And then just another fun stat, experience. Minnesota, 1.86 years of experience on average, which is 142nd in the country, which means that they probably have a lot of guys that aren't freshmen playing, like Illinois has three freshmen. Mm-hmm. Illinois is 219th in experience at 1.63. So, yeah, very fun. And another fun one, Illinois is 150th in the country in average height. Minnesota's 43rd. So that's not surprising. And then one more fun one, if I can find it. Bench minutes, Illinois, 25.8% to Minnesota's 29.6. So they're both Illinois 298 in that category, Minnesota 220. The D1 average is 31.4%, and Illinois is 25.8, which means that a lot of the minutes are getting sucked up by Frazier, Kofi, and Io.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what to make of all that, but it's a stat on KenPom, and you go with it. So,
sure.
Yeah, Illinois basically uses the same lineup in every game, so they'll have the same lineup. I don't see why they would change it, but
definitely not going to change it. Grandison starting.
Just do you want to guess what Illinois' third most frequent lineup is over the last five games? Because the first two, obviously, Frazier, Miller, Io, Kofi, Grandison, Frazier, Miller, Io, DeMonte, Kofi. What do you think the third is?
It's probably that stupid lineup he puts in with Frazier, Curbelo, Miller.
There is no frequent lineup on here. There's only one that doesn't have Io or Kofi on it. The rest have them both on it. And the one that doesn't have them on is Curbelo, Frazier, Miller, DeMonte, Georgie. That's the seventh most frequently used, 3.3%. What's third, you think?
I'm going to go with Io, Georgie. Yes.
Nope.
Io, Kofi.
Yep. This is a 6
Curbelo.
Yes.
DeMonte.
Yep.
And Frazier.
Yep, that's the third. And then the fourth is Curbelo, Frazier, DeMonte, Io, Georgie. And then the fifth is Curbelo, Frazier, Io, Grandison, Kofi. And then the sixth is Frazier, Miller, DeMonte, Io, Georgie. The eighth is Frazier, DeMonte, Io, Grandison, Kofi. The ninth, which is at 2.6%, is Curbelo, Frazier, Miller, DeMonte, Kofi. And then the 10th most frequently used at 2.3% is Curbelo, Miller, DeMonte, Io, Georgie. Very exciting.
That's interesting stuff.
Yeah, so he's in all of them.
That's what you pay the big bucks for.
Exactly. Marcus Carr is in every single one of Minnesota's most frequently used, except for two.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, a lot of talk about Booth Gotch last time they played. He was terrible. He's not starting anymore. I wonder how many minutes he's going to get. Minnesota, another team with a lot of length, so we'll see.
He's struggling. I was looking up his numbers.
Yeah, he's not been good. No. Prediction-wise, where are you going?
I got Illinois winning this game. I know it's hard to win in the barn, but I think Illinois is going to keep riding the six-game win streak. I got them winning 78-73. I did see that the spread is Illinois 5.5-point favorite.
I hate to do it. I know I'm going to be right about this. I think this is the type of game that you lose. Terrible. You're facing a very desperate Minnesota team, and this is how it's going to go. This is just going to set Illinois up to win out. After this, they're going to beat Nebraska, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State. So they'll win four straight going into the Big Ten tournament. They're going to finish the season at 19-6 and 15-4 in the Big Ten. Wait, is that right? Yeah, 15-4 in the Big Ten, 19-6. So that's what's going to happen. And you're going to like it. So I just think, like I said, you're facing a very desperate. Like
it, but I mean,
what, winning four of the last five, including beating Ohio State and Wisconsin again? Okay. I mean, all right. And beating Michigan State into the ground, finally. I mean, they beat them that one year, Iowa's freshman year, where Doc said, this isn't going to end well for Illinois, and then Iowa hits a three. But I just think you're facing a desperate Minnesota team. It's going to be very – I'd rather – if they lose this game, I'd rather they win out after that, because that's going to set them up to be, you know, four straight going to the Big Ten tournament. I think this is a setup game, a little bit of a trap maybe, not in the sense that – look ahead or, you know, what they're doing, but like just the fact they're facing a desperate Minnesota team that doesn't really lose at home.
Yeah, true.
So I think 69 for Illinois, 72 for Minnesota. I think they'll lose by three, but this is going to set them up to win out. I'd be very surprised if they ended the season on an 11-game winning streak, which is what they'd have to do if they want to have any chance to probably win the Big Ten or get close to it. But either way, they're set up pretty well to not have to play in the first couple of days of the Big Ten tournament. So, I mean, they're almost – I don't know what the Big Ten standings are right now, but they're almost locked in the top three spot at this point, right? It would take a lot for them not to be.
Yeah.
Michigan 10-1, Illinois 11-3, Ohio State 12-4, Iowa's 10-5, and Iowa, Illinois beat. And they're a couple games ahead of them. So, the Big Ten at the top, the top four teams you got – Michigan's won four in a row, Illinois's won six in a row, Iowa's won three in a row, and Ohio State's won seven in a row. So a lot of the teams in the top rolling. At the bottom, not so good. You look at what Northwestern has done. They've impressively lost 12 games in a row. Minnesota's dropped two straight. Michigan's dropped two straight. Penn State's dropped three straight. Nebraska's dropped two straight. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, the team that's trending upward right now that might make the tournament's Maryland at this point. So
yeah.
They have some good wins. They went into Illinois, beat them, went into Minnesota, beat them. So
got to play Nebraska two games in a row. I mean,
and they lost one of those games, didn't they? Or did they win both?
I think they won both of them.
Okay, so Nebraska beat Penn State. I got confused on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to do some quick recruiting stuff. Talk about the 2021 class. Illinois lands their second player, probably their final player in this class out of high school, I'd assume. I think the only other addition next year will be when Namari Burnett decides to come to Illinois, which will happen. So they get four-star RJ Melendez, 6'7" wing, small forward. We thought it was going to happen, and it does. He's a guy that we didn't talk about too much, so that's usually what happens when we don't talk about
him a lot. We talk about him. What do you mean?
Not to the level of Mack Etienne or Ty Washington, who, you know, one's playing at UCLA right now.
So, yeah, Brad Sturdy and Ryan Evan actually got one right. Good job, guys.
Congrats to them, I guess. Illinois, he chooses Illinois over Alabama. DePaul, that's an easy one. Florida Atlantic, Georgia Tech, Iowa State, Mercer thought they had a chance, seriously. Nebraska, Oklahoma State, South Florida, Virginia Tech. So not a ton of competition. If you look at that list right now, Illinois is far better than all of those teams right now, except for Alabama and Oklahoma State.
Alabama's got a good class coming in, too.
They don't need them.
They don't need them. You're right.
Yeah, and they're going to have returning players as well. I mean, Primo is probably going to go to the NBA, but they still have a lot of guys there. Mm-hmm. And Nate Oates got a big extension, I saw. So I wonder, didn't Underwood get an extension last year? I know for a fact he got an extension. So. He got an extension during when we were doing this podcast because we talked about it.
Yeah, I think you're correct. March 2nd, 2020.
So right before everything died.
He has a potential to stay with Illini through 2030.
Oh, God, that's a long time.
let's see.
Can we make it to a Final Four by 2030, please? I mean, seriously.
This buyout figure decreases each year of the agreement, but any NCAA tournament appearance between 2022 and 2025 allows for subsequent extensions to automatically kick in.
Jesus.
And allow an agreement between Underwood and the University of Illinois to potentially reach 2030.
Haven't been to the Final Four in 16 years. Can we make it happen? Haven't been to the tournament in what? When was the last time they were in a tournament? 8 years? 7 years?
It's been a long time.
My God. John Gross is going to get back into the tournament the same year that Illinois does, even though they would have gotten in last year. But good Lord. So Illinois or Melendez is 97th nationally on 247. He's the number 21 small forward. He's number 13 in Florida. So this class is all length. If you want wingers, guys that can shoot who are 6'7", you got them. Goody's 6'7", 200. He's 94th nationally. Melendez 6'7", 190, 97th nationally. I do think they both do different things well. I would say Goody's a much better shooter, and I think Melendez is more of a playmaker.
Yeah, he's really good around the hoop. It looks like. I mean,
that's good. So they're number 20 and number 21 small forwards in the class of 2021. So right there. So they basically got the same level.
Same guy. One's a lefty. So.
Yeah. The 2021 class, Illinois 46th in the country, 9th in the Big Ten. Neither of those numbers are really ideal.
Doesn't matter.
But it's not surprising. I mean, they're getting 2 4 stars, which I'm good with. And they could maybe get a transfer like Namari Burnett, who's coming. I mean, I'm telling you, he will be here very soon.
I'd like a Kofi replacement transfer than another Kofi staying. There's no way Kofi's staying.
Why wouldn't he stay?
Because he's too good.
He's not going to get drafted. I'm telling you right now. He's not going to get drafted. If he has idiots speaking to him, then yeah, he's gone. If he has smart people talking to him, then he'll stay one more year and he'll be a first-round pick.
Be nice.
I mean, we thought Io was going to
go. I'm not getting my hopes up. Yeah, but that was different.
COVID. No. That's COVID. It was the same.
No.
He came back because he loves all of us and stuff. Yeah.
He wanted to win one for the Illini.
I mean, good for him. With the way that they're recruiting, they really don't need a Kofi replacement per se to still be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I who do you – Georgie at the 5 next year? I don't like that.
I don't know. Hamlin at the 5? Who's that red shirt that's like 7 foot tall?
Is no way.
weighs $125.
What about jumping into the Chet Holmgren mix? I just, you know, before we go to the other thing I want to talk about recruiting wise, I really hope that Chet Holmgren does not go to the Big Ten, because there's looking like there's a chance. You know, he's the number one player, 7 foot, $190.
Yeah, who's number one on his list right now?
Well, I think Gonzaga is the favorite. He's from Minneapolis, so Gonzaga is the crystal ball from 7 experts. So it's looking like he's going to go there, which is going to be fun, because they're going to be very good again. But he's warm on 4 teams, and 3 of them are Big Ten teams. Gonzaga, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State. Michigan does not need anybody else, so please stop.
Can you imagine being 7 foot tall and only weighing 190 pounds?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think that weight is a little out of date. I think he's at least like 210 by now.
He's warm on Gonzaga, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State. Go to Gonzaga, kid.
3 of the 4 Big Ten teams.
Go to Gonzaga, kid.
7 crystal balls say Gonzaga, so that's good.
Yikes.
100% chance he goes to Gonzaga, according to 247.
Good.
Please go there.
Stay over there, please.
And go there. I'd rather he go there than the G League because, you know, it's good to have good college basketball players in college basketball. And most years these days, the number one recruit is never the best freshman, but I think this year the number one recruit is the best freshman. So speaking of which, segue into Monday, we're going to be talking about best freshman in the country on the countdown of March Madness number 3. So definitely not going to be talking about Cade Cunningham, am I right?
No, probably just Curbelo.
And Adam Miller and Coleman Adam Hawkins.
Miller, yeah.
So
players that you love.
If you look at the Big Ten rankings for the 2021 recruiting, Michigan is number one by far.
Dominant.
Then Michigan State. Then Nebraska is third because they have Bryce McGowan's coming in, that 5-star. I think he's Trey McGowan's brother.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, 4th. Northwestern, 5th. Purdue, 6th. Ohio State, 7th. Maryland, 8th. Illinois, 9th. And then you have Minnesota, 10th. Indiana, 11, Iowa, 12, Rutgers, 13. So I'm going to try to find, like, how many 5-stars are coming in, you know, to the Big Ten.
Well, I mean, what does a team have to do to get good recruits? I mean, Illinois is really good.
I think what this tells you is that –
spots for them. I don't know.
It definitely helps to be, like, a former big-time player and, like, an actual good coach. So like Juwan Howard's a pretty solid coach, I would say. Penny Hardaway still gets the recruits despite not being a good coach at all.
Right.
So that I think it helps.
Dads are like, go play for Penny. I loved him.
Yeah, it's like I'm sure you would probably do something like that with a coach if you
had. I absolutely would.
Yeah, exactly.
If my kid was good enough, I'd tell him to play for Penny.
Okay, if Michael Jordan was the head coach somewhere, you would do that, right?
Right. What was Penny's little character's name? What the heck? He was in those commercials. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You're too young.
No, I'm old. There's 4 5-stars coming into the Big Ten. 2 at Michigan, 1 at Michigan State, 1 at Nebraska. And the one at Michigan State is, of course,
Penny.
Max Christie. Well, this sucks. Max Christie, the number 17 player, 5-star. He's from Illinois, and he's going to Michigan State. I mean, that's just – that can't happen.
It's just typical, isn't it? Maybe they will back out of that because – Michigan State's bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think what it takes – you know what it takes to get good recruits? You know what helps? Cheating.
Did you see Bohannon said that he wouldn't have went to Wisconsin if they gave him $50,000 in a McDonald's bag?
So is he taking a shot at Tennessee?
He said he wouldn't go to – well, and then everybody's like, you didn't even get an offer from Wisconsin.
I mean, let's see who offered him. Sounds like he's a little too into himself at this point, kind of like Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, I thought it was so
funny. First of all, he was a 3-star, and he was 312th in the country, so shut the hell up there.
Uh-huh.
Second of all, he's from Iowa, so no F he's going to go to Iowa. His other offers were DePaul. Who the hell wants to play there? Drake is fine. I mean, he got an offer from them, and he unofficially visited Wisconsin. What an idiot. I mean, shut the hell up. My God. Go play for Fran McAvery, who's a complete loser who looks like an effing bird. I mean, shut up, Jordan Bohannon. I'm a better shooter than you are. That was too far. So Illinois entered the mix for Enoch Boyake, who decommitted from Michigan State last week. 6'10", 240-pound center. He's a 2022 guy. I think he might be considering reclassing, so that would work if they got him. That's a Kofi replacement. Not as tall, doesn't weigh as much, but damn close. He's a 4-star, 32nd nationally, so he's basically a 5-star. He's a 5-star on Rivals, a 4-star on 247. He's 4th. Overall center in this class. He's from Mississauga, Ontario, of course, the home of the Mississauga Steelhead OHL squad. Of course, everybody knows that. And a lot of teams ran on him.
Yeah. So I just had an article up about him. He said that he wants to go to a place where he can make an immediate impact, and he feels like Michigan State's going to have a lot of guys coming back.
Because they suck? Yeah.
Say here's the article. He says it's a tough decision, but I really do love Michigan State. But it's one of those situations where I have to do what's best for me in the future. Just doing a lot of research with my people and watching a lot of games, it looks like they will have a lot of guys staying. So it sounds like he's going to reclass. I want to go to a place where I have an opportunity to make an impact right away. Kofi replacement. That's the number one goal of mine, he says.
Yeah, there's some people thinking he might go to Oklahoma State.
It looks like Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Arizona, USC, Duke, Kentucky, Washington State, Gonzaga have already reached out. doesn't have a timeline for deciding. At the same time, I don't want to waste anyone's time. I think things will move fast. I think eventually I'll get to the top 3, then I'll announce. So.
He has offers from Arizona, BYU, Denver, Houston, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, UCLA, and Western Kentucky. And he has interest from Kentucky and Duke, but no offer from either of those schools.
Yeah, and that's when he announced that he was going to Michigan State. He said that he wanted to go to a team that was going to compete for a national championship right out the gate.
He's from Canada. What does he know about that?
Way Michigan State is right now, it might have something to do with that too. I don't know.
There's an article from Writing Illini that says Illinois is heavily in pursuit of Namari Burnett.
Yeah.
It makes almost too much sense for him not to come to Illinois.
I agree. I just don't know. I mean, more guards, but I guess it depends what Demonte and Miller do, or Demonte and Frazier do.
So the teams that are heaviest on Burnett: Illinois, Alabama, USC, Vanderbilt, and Oregon. I'm only worried about Alabama. I don't see any reason why he would go anywhere else, especially Vanderbilt. Seriously, they suck. Why would you want to go there?
I don't know.
And Jerry Stackhouse is a moron. Some
people like being the guy.
Yeah, Jerry Stackhouse is an idiot.
So, but
I think I went too hard on Stackhouse there. I just think he did some stupid things last week.
Wow.
Calling Jeff Goodman a racist or whatever. Like, that's
ridiculous. Oh, okay.
He did. I mean, if you look it up, he called him a racist for something really stupid. Let me see if I can find that. Just so we can really bring the drama side of college basketball to this podcast.
I know you like drama. I'm fine with it. This short episode has now went an hour, so.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Jerry Stackhouse implies fans are critical of him because they're racist Trump supporters, not because of his embarrassing record. That's what this article says.
Yikes.
First of all, he definitely inherited a bad program, but right. Like, seriously, you're 4-23 in the SEC. Like, the SEC is not the Big Ten.
True.
You can only win 4 games in 2 seasons there. It's terrible. Maybe someone like a Jeff Goodman said something and I've got him blocked anyway. So now a fan wants me to know what Jeff Goodman says, so he tags me. Well, now you're blocked too. I don't want to see this on my timeline. I don't want the noise. Don't want the hate. Then get off social media, idiot. I mean, you're a freaking coach. You're talking like a 17-year-old. My God. I'm glad Illinois didn't hire someone that's as stupid as this idiot. Vanderbilt should fire his ass. What an idiot. You're not a freaking 16-year-old recruit. You don't want this noise. What are you, 16 years old? You got players say, oh, you're not good. So stupid. Ridiculous. I mean, Jerry Stackhouse. Well, you know what? That quote pissed me off, so I had to go.
I love it.
It also helps Illinois has their stuff together.
That's right.
Burnett. This past season, they had some success, but he had already committed before seeing what the program could do. I don't know why he did that. He went to Texas Tech where he got glossed over by Mac McClung and the guards at Texas Tech. But now they're one of the top teams in the country. And now I think all Underwood has to do when he's recruiting guys is say, well, especially guys from Chicago, look at what Io did here. And that should be enough.
Exactly.
That probably had something to do with Miller coming here. But, Namari Burnett would be a nice fit. You know, you'd have probably a starting lineup because I'm assuming if he's going to come here, he's going to start. So you'd probably have Curbelo, Miller, Burnett. Do you start one of the freshmen for length? I think you have to, right? Who do you start if you had to pick one of the two, just like based off of what they look like coming in? I think I'd rather start Melendez because I think they already have enough shooting in that.
I think Melendez is more of a slasher than a setup shooter. So I think that's who I would go with. I don't know if either of these guys will start, though.
I don't think so. Well, with especially since Kofi's going to come back, you got Georgie
playing. Right. There's not going to be any place for him.
Can Burnett shoot?
I don't think so.
See, I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how good of a pickup Burnett would actually be.
But maybe he's one of those guys that's just highly overrated coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And it's not really his fault that he's rated that high, but he should definitely come to Illinois. But that'll conclude this episode. I hope everyone enjoyed the pointless Jerry Stackhouse rant. I kept it short and sweet, obviously, yeah. but
you can save that for the March countdown and March Madness, though.
Well, I can't do that because Vanderbilt's nowhere near the tournaments. Why the hell would we waste time talking about them? So I just figured that since we were talking about Vanderbilt pursuing Burnett, I figured that's a perfect chance to get after it. But hope everyone enjoyed this episode. A little bit of a weird one, a lot of off-topic stuff by me, of course, not not surprising there. But
the people love
episode number 55, I guess, will be here Monday because they play Michigan State on Tuesday. And then we'll review that Minnesota game, or I guess it could be Tuesday before the game because of the countdown to March Madness episode on Monday.
Yeah.
Whatever, we could do it Sunday, we'll Monday, it Tuesday. I don't care. We'll find out. But anyway, you follow us
we'll let you know.
On Twitter. And you'll see live tweets during the game about how, like, tweets will be like, hey, what is Curbelo doing? What the hell is Coleman Hawkins doing? Or I'll share a text message saying
this. Why is Grandison starting?
Yeah, so we'll do that. But we'll see you next week, episode 55. Hope the Illini can do what I say they won't do and win the game tomorrow. So we'll find out. Beat Patino's dweeb ass. All right, see you.
Go Illini.